Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw. And in today's episode, you are going to hear from Allie Reeves and how she teaches businesses to blow up their online strategy. Now, Allie has 30.6 thousand followers on Instagram and 33.6 thousand followers on TikTok. So no big deal, except she is a big deal. And she is definitely blowing up the Instagram and TikTok space. So what I really wanted to get from Allie in today's episode was, what the heck is she really doing to create great quality, incredible content? And how is she using the compound effect to really get and find her people? And in this episode, she just absolutely simplifies things. And I really left this episode with Allie feeling like I could conquer Instagram. And I feel like that's what we're all just trying to do, is every day, step by step, just feel a little bit better about how we are tackling our socials, not trying to do everything, but just really learning what works. So kick back. This episode is definitely for you if you want to focus on Instagram and Instagram stories and learn how to actually do less and not more.
You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build a social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
Allie, thank you so much for being on the show today. I know earlier you were just saying that you're in Tennessee. I was just thinking, my two cousins I have, that they live in Sacramento, California, and I've been seeing on the news recently, a lot of people actually leaving California. And my two cousins are actually looking at moving to Tennessee. They said it's like beautiful there and they were raving about it.
We just moved into, by the way, thank you for having me. Excited to be here. But yeah, let's talk about Californians. So we just moved in to this neighborhood. It's almost been a year now. And it's a brand new neighborhood. There's not many people living here yet. And out of maybe the 9 people that live on our street right now, 3 of them are from California, moved from California to the current house that they're in. So we're seeing a huge, and people actually thought that my husband and I and our family, they thought that we were one of the Californians. I was like, I don't know what that means, but I'll take it. Like, maybe that's I don't know. But yeah, they thought we were, I was like, no, we're Tennesseans through and through. But yeah, a lot of people are moving here. I mean, can you imagine, like, with the house prices and, I mean, prices of everything in California. And then you come to Tennessee and, I mean, you could live in a freaking mansion over here for what you're paying for your standard home in California. So I don't blame them one bit.
Yeah. It's been interesting just watching things like with some of the tech companies moving and the business taxes and different things like that. But it was, yeah, interesting to hear my cousins, because not to get too deep here, but my aunt left Canada when she was like 17 and moved to California, and like, you know, so they've been there, you know, quite a long time. So it was interesting to hear like Tennessee is the next place that like their eyes are on. So I'm excited to visit there one day. It sounds beautiful.
It is. It definitely is. Yeah. We're lucky you live here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm super excited to jump into your story. I feel like a bit starstruck. You know, when somebody has like they do such a great job with their following and with their content. Like, I always feel just very grateful and, you know, like just blessed to be able to like jump into that and talk to you know, talk to you about that. Because I think when you are able to kind of crack that nut open a bit for people that are trying to build their business and having that sort of look under the hood, it just feels like such a, you know, a blessing to be able to do that. So I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today and to help us understand how, like, these are some of the stats and things that you've accomplished in your business. So 30.6 thousand followers on Instagram, 33.6 thousand followers on TikTok. I mean, that's just, you know, what the, like, looking at the numbers, but going deeper into that, how you serve your audience. Like, every time I see a piece of your content, like, I always stop. I'm like, what's Ali up to? You know, like, I always want to know more. So I think that it's such a gift to be able to dig into that and learn more about how you started. Cause sometimes, you know, when you see that stuff, you can go right into that imposter syndrome of, you know, oh, I'm sure Ali's always had that many followers. That's just where she's always been playing at that level. And so it's really, you know, it's interesting to open up that conversation and start, you know, at a point of how you actually grew to that.
Yes, what it really, really looked like. And it's so important. And I'm so thankful to be here and that there are women like you who are doing this work and asking these questions, because it is so easy to look at somebody's numbers. And also, like, my numbers comparatively are small. I mean, let's just be honest, like, compared to a lot of other people who do what I do. But like, what I teach, and I'm sure it's along the lines of what you're teaching too, is you don't need to have this massive, huge audience to not only make an impact, but have a beautiful business that truly supports, you know, the lifestyle that you want and, you know, whatever. So I'd love to talk about that too. But yeah, it's so easy to look at numbers or look how I'm showing up now or how you're showing up right now or anybody and assume that, oh, that's just how they've always been, when it couldn't be further from the truth. It couldn't. So yeah, I would be more than happy to paint that picture.
That's awesome. Cause I know for myself, when I think about certain areas that I don't know the formula, I shy away from it. I'm like, Insta stories. No, like, I'm going to show up once in a while, but it tends to breed this, I think, inconsistency when you feel like I don't really know what my audience wants and how to actually provide content. And it can snowball into that. Like, I don't want to put my time into things that aren't getting results. So anyways, I'm excited to dig into that today with you. And can you tell us a little bit about your story? How did you get into all of this that you do now in terms of helping people blow up their business online strategy? I know that you have coaching and masterminds and signature courses. So how did you get into this?
Yeah. So I got into this industry, the online space, back in, gosh, it was 2015 or 16. I can't remember now, but I started as a social media manager for small businesses. It's what I did in college. I was bartending and then I needed to make extra money. And luckily my boss at the time had multiple venues and he was like, oh, you're a millennial, do social media. And I was like, okay. And, you know, and like messed around with Facebook ads whenever Facebook ads first came out. And long story short, did that for a while and then met my now husband and had to move to where he is and couldn't find a job. And it was him that was like, why don't you? Because I had every intention of just being a social media manager for another business. And he was like, why don't you just start your own business and freelance and work with multiple people? And I was like, I don't want to do that. That sounds so dumb. But I did. And it was genius. And but like, and the reason why I thought that is because it sounded so big and complicated. And like, I can't start my own business. What? And I did. And I did that for a couple of years. And it was a success, just myself. I got really lucky and I landed a couple of great clients right out the gate. And I was super busy and I was bringing in great money very early on and had plenty of work, plenty of room to grow. But a year and a half in or so, I was very unfulfilled, extremely burnout, super bored. I was also pregnant with our first child and it was this moment where I was like, what do I do? Do I continue on this path? And it feels safe and it feels certain. And I know that, again, there's room to grow. Or do I see what else is out there for me and take a risk and make the leap into the unknown? Everybody was like, let's do the safe thing. You know, you're about to be a mom. And I would have rather died. I honestly, I don't care. And it wasn't one of those things where I thought to myself, oh, I'll just start coaching, right? I'll just start doing, you know, what I'm doing now. I had no clue. I had no experience besides social media management for other businesses, but I had no clue what I was going to do. But I had this tiny, tiny, tiny mustard seed of a gut instinct that I would love to work with other women. Because I'd taken on some random female clients here and there, helping them do a few things in their business while I was managing social media, and loved it. And I just felt it felt so much more fulfilling and fun. So I just thought, well, maybe I'll go in that direction. Maybe I'll just start offering my services. I know a lot about social media. I know a lot about showing up. So I'll start doing that and helping women who are working from home, or again, who just have small businesses or whatever, figure out how to do it right. Because there was such like a need for that. They had so many had no idea what they were doing. And I took that leap and I never looked back, and here we are. And I've been doing this now for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. I'm really bad with time and years, but a while. And it's been fantastic. And it's been, you know, a steady growth and a grind for sure, especially in the beginning. But yeah, that's how I got here.
I always find it interesting when I hear people say they're lucky. Cause I mean, we know that there's something that I think we can probably attribute that luck to when we think about it and think back, right? So you gained some clients, you said, right off the bat. What do you think it was that made you, and I don't know if you had a lot of experience or how these clients came to you, but when you look back, is there anything that you think helped you stand out?
Sure. And I agree with you. I think it's interesting when people say luck too. One of my favorite sayings my dad used to tell me all the time is you make your own luck. And it's true. I think there is a level of serendipity out there and luck that can play into it if you show up. I think that's the key, right? Like you got to show up and put yourself in those positions. And that's what I did. I showed up and I also did my due diligence. And how I landed my first client, which then snowballed into multiple, was somebody heard that I was doing this. They were like, hey, I'll introduce you to a doctor who's looking for help with his social media. And I about peed my pants because I had no clue what I was. I mean, I'd worked for bars, right? Like fresh out of college, had no clue what I was doing. And now a doctor is looking to interview me for his practice. And again, it was my husband who was like, you got this, you can do this. And we put together this super professional proposal. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was so professional. And I came in with my folder and I was all dressed up and I felt like such an imposter, but I put myself in the room and I knew that, like, you know what? I'll figure it out. I've never not figured it out. I'll figure it out. And I did. And, you know, and it led to another client and everything. So I think there is luck in there for sure, but like, you got to put yourself in the room and you have to take action to get there, to get to that point.
Yeah, it reminds me of where Brené Brown always talks about putting yourself in the arena, that, you know, those who actually show up and are willing to put themselves out there are often the ones that make their own luck, as you've said. So I love that. And so in terms of your growth and how you've gotten to the place that you are now, what do you think that if you, you know, obviously you coach, you know, a ton of people in the social media arena, what do you think it really takes to go from not having that following to being able to really like dig your heels in and build that strong following like you have?
I think first and foremost, it comes with how you show up and having the confidence in the value that you have to bring. And also where you're going. And I've talked about this many times, but like I was and I still do this, you know, like I call it stepping into the role that I wanted to play, the future self that I wanted to be before I was ready. That was a big part for me because I showed up as this coach, mentor, educator for women teaching, you know, I started teaching on Instagram strategies and I had like 1,000 followers, maybe 2,000 followers. Right. And I'm like, hey, I can help you grow your Instagram. And people, I mean, it's laughable, but I knew where I was going and I knew that I could do it. So I think that's like, you have to have like a level of confidence and maybe even a little bit of foolishness too. And then put your money where your mouth is, like show up, give the value. And that's what I did. I showed up almost every single day, teaching, giving some sort of tip, some sort of something before I ever had anything to sell. And before I knew it, people were sharing my page. People were connecting me with women who needed people to teach in their Facebook groups for like free trainings. And that's what I did for the first year and a half. And that just really helped me start gaining momentum. And then at that point, it's social proof, right? Like once you get to 8,000-10,000 followers, it's so much easier to grow after that, in my experience. But yeah, those first getting started, it's definitely more of a grind, but you can get there. You just got to keep showing up.
I love how you phrase that, confidence and foolishness mixed together.
Yeah.
And then showing up and teaching. So when you're at that point of, you know, having 1,000 followers, you know, you're sort of new to growing that following. I think this is an interesting question because sometimes I think entrepreneurs struggle. They're like, well, I don't have the proof. Like, who am I to be teaching this? Mm-hmm. And so that plays into the confidence, you know, factor as well. And that being said, like, you don't have to be light years ahead of people. You just got to be one step. Like, you just have to know a little bit more,
exactly,
you know, than someone else.
That's right. Yeah.
How did you formulate your content and strategy at that point to know what to teach when you had this audience of 1,000?
A lot of conversations. And I really started paying attention to the questions that I was being asked and the pain points that my ideal client was having. So even though people weren't excited to join my mastermind yet or, you know, pay what I would hope for them to pay, you know, to book me one-on-one, they would, again, like, let me do free trainings in their group, or they, you know, I would get a few people want to join my course. But anyway, I did a little work in the front end and just had as many conversations as I possibly could with the woman that I knew that I wanted to work with. Hey, what are you struggling with? What would make this easier for you in the best, you know, perfect world? What would you know? What would you know how to do? What would be done for you? And from there, you know, even if I didn't know how to do these things at the time, I sure as heck could go figure it out. And that's what I did. And, you know, that's what, like, I now teach what's called the Influence to Income Formula. That's like my signature course. But what that started as was this, you know, beta version of that, which was like half of the content. But it's just what all I knew at the time. And then that grew into what is now the Influence to Income Formula, based on those conversations. And as far as like a strategy, I did what was working for me. And I saw, like, the more I was consistent, the more value I gave, which was, you know, free information, the more people engaged and shared and gave me the time of their day. And then through working with them and figuring out their pain points, I then figured out, like, okay, these are the areas. And then also growing my own business, I figured out, okay, these are the areas that people need to show up or do or take some action in daily to grow a sustainable business. And that's how I came up with, you know, my formula. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. So what I'm hearing, and I just have to explain this style type of mine, I like to, like, really try to dig in and understand what's going on to then, like, reduce overwhelm to be able to figure out and piece together this strategy of success. Cause mm-hmm. you know, success leaves clues, and that is so cliche. So I hate saying that, but it's so, it's true all at the same time.
Yeah.
What I love that you have made really simple to understand is that it's about this feedback loop of having these conversations and then tweaking your content to answer it, having conversations and tweaking content. Yes. So it's like this flywheel of momentum that builds the more that you understand what your people want. Because I think what happens is we get stuck where we're like, oh, I'm putting out this Insta story and I didn't get any responses. So I'm just not going to do that because it doesn't work. Instead, it's about being a little more introspective and having a look at what people actually want instead of looking at it like it's personal, like, oh, nobody likes me and what I'm putting out there.
And it's easier said than done, right? But I think that the way you just put that was beautifully said. And I would say to like, be curious about your content. And it's so easy to say, okay, I want to talk about these things and I want to be known for X, Y, Z. Well, if you're what you would consider your ideal client isn't into it for whatever reason, you have to pivot, right? Like you have to cater to your client, especially online. And I see a lot of people get caught up there where, and I get it, like it's hard where you learn, maybe you invest in a course and it teaches a specific strategy, or you just nail your stories, right? You finally figure out stories and you get a strategy going there. And then here comes Instagram Reels and Clubhouse and all these things. And you're like, oh my gosh, I just figured this out. And it's not that you have to do every single one of those things, but businesses evolve. Mm-hmm. So do strategies. And so do the preferences of who you are wanting to work with. And on some level, you have to cater to that because on social media, at least, the name of the game is engagement. And if you're not getting engagement, people aren't vibing with what you're putting out there, it's going to be hard to have a business. Mm. So it kind of, you got to put that pride aside for a little bit and be curious and kind of play around with a few things and see what sticks. That's what I've had to do. What's your experience there?
Yeah, I think that when I look at the areas that I've always done the best, like, and I'm talking like if we crack open the whole spectrum here of Facebook ads and you know, tying in Facebook and things like that, like my experience has always been testing, like having this mindset that it is all in the testing. And I think when I look at our business, I went full-time about 4 years ago, but we've been in the online space, I guess, for the last 15 or so, just like, you know, like eBay and selling scarf ring, like all these like random things that we did when we had corporate jobs. But I found, so this was the crazy part, is that a year and a half ago, we were able to 10X our business. And it wasn't because we all of a sudden, I guess, like got hooked into this new strategy or something. It was like we were testing all these things and all of a sudden something started working with like this one freebie we had. And we were like, okay, like keep scaling, scale that. And it was like almost just this idea of keep doing what's working, drop the rest. Like don't get emotionally attached to it. Just keep digging into that corner of what's working. So it really aligns with what you're saying. It's like have that mindset of being really curious as to what your audience is responding to and don't get emotionally attached to the other stuff and be prepared to pivot when things are changing. And you reminded me, actually, I'm reading this book right now. It's called The Practicing Mind. And I've worked with Rick Mulready. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he was, I was in a couple of his masterminds and it was one of the books he recommended. And you know, sometimes when you are reading something, it has to like hit you at the right, because I picked it up a couple times. I'm like, nope, don't need to practice nothing.
Not ready.
Right? Not good. Yeah.
And I know about this.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm over it and I haven't even started. And this book is all about this idea that we get so process focused. We're like, I just want 10,000 followers. Why isn't it happening? And we get like so caught up in the progress that we forget the process. Mm. And that's the other thing that you said that it was super interesting is that when you were focusing on growing your business, you're seeing what's working for you, the things that are helping you get engagement, and you're dialing in those things and talking about them. And so it's like this process of really being engaged with what your ideal customers are also going through. And again, it's like kind of this like flywheel of momentum, like you're testing all the things you're teaching in your business so that you're able to speak to it from a really authentic place, mm-hmm. which I love. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know, like it doesn't have to be, it's not like, you know, brain surgery or rocket science here. It's really like keeping it simple. Like the things we forget to do, you know, like go and engage with other people's, you know, sure. stories.
Oh, it's so easy to overcomplicate. And I do that too. And I'm such a person who I can have my head down and it's all about like the metrics or the numbers and that hitting that next goal. And with that, it's almost like, okay, well, what can I do? And it's almost like adding in things. You think you have to add in things or do things differently to take it to the next level. When in a lot of cases, if you just take a step back and look around and, you know, dip into your analytics a little bit and what's been working, oftentimes it's like, let's just lean in, you know, like you said, to this one area that's actually hitting for us and work smarter, not harder. But yeah, that's definitely something that I'm still working through. I'm very right brained. So the systems and the business strategy has been an area that has been a struggle for me because I would much rather just sit down and create content all day, which also works really well. But yeah, it's often more simple than a lot of us realize.
You know, what blew my mind is at one of the masterminds back when travel, you know, like we could go places and things like that. Like we were in San Diego and Amy Porterfield came into one of the live events we had. And like, so first of all, these things like blew my mind. She was like, okay, so we plan to have, you know, a $5 million year. We hit eight, you know, just deal. Like nonchalantly.
Yeah.
And of course, like we all got to remember like how long someone like Amy Porterfield has been at this. The thing that she said is that it blew my mind was like, you know, think about it. I have three offerings. And what really helped us scale was actually simplifying, not adding more to mm-hmm. our strategy. And that's what I always try to remember here is that like, it's not about always trying to, we want to focus on, we think that our revenue will be directly impacted the more things that we do, the more places we are, and the more the spread becomes wide. Mm-hmm. Whereas like what I've learned from some of these people that have really been able to scale their businesses quickly, it's like, no, full steam ahead and really focus on narrowing those offers and making it less complicated. So that always makes me feel like really good about it's okay to be, you know, to stay in a lane and to be focused in there without the shot, because shiny object syndrome, I don't know about you, but sometimes like it just overtakes me. Like,
oh man, it's so hard. Well, especially on social media, you know, and it's so easy to have that FOMO. And what's funny too, is I've worked with so many different coaches, many of whom go deep, right? They choose the one or two things that they are known for and they go super deep in those and they're so focused, wildly successful. Then you have these other people who they create a new offer every freaking month. And it's those people that give me anxiety. And I have to remind myself, like, that's not the only way you can be successful. You don't have to come up with this new offer. And I think for anybody listening who is wanting to grow on social media, the same is true with social media. And it always comes back to your ideal client. It always does. Where are they hanging out? What platform do they prefer? You need to be there. You need to dominate that space. So for me, that is Instagram. And, you know, now this, like, you know, TikTok came out and I embraced that because to me, it was like killing two birds, one stone. You're going to put some content on TikTok. You can also put on Instagram. Great. Might as well grow both. But now there's this new Clubhouse, and I would be lying if I didn't say that I feel like I'm missing out and I'm already behind because I haven't even figured it out yet. Like I don't know where people find the time to play with these things anymore. So, but I bring it back and I remind myself, okay, my person is on Instagram. I'm going to keep showing up over here. And then whenever I have some extra time, I'll play around with Clubhouse and we'll go from there. But yeah, it's a constant reminder for sure.
Yeah, when I had installed Clubhouse and got into that, like I actually had to shut off the notifications because it gave me that feeling of like, I should be on there. And when I pull myself back, it's like, is my ideal customer on there? No. And where I am as an entrepreneur, I'm focusing on saying no to more and batting things away so that I can stay focused mm-hmm. on the rocks business and our goals for this year. And when it comes down to it, it doesn't involve trying to grow in all these other platforms. I really want to perfect where we are right now and do a really great job of that first before I start, you know, spreading myself too thin in all these other areas and, you know, trying to juggle all these balls and not doing anything well, you know?
Exactly. What you water grows. And it's so, and I see a lot of people making, that's like such a common mistake where let's say their ideal client's on Instagram and they know they've got to figure out freaking Instagram and then TikTok and then all the, and they think, well, I'll go on TikTok. I'll give that a shot or now Clubhouse. And it's almost like this, because they're not seeing the success over here, they're going to come try over here. And then they're trying to balance all these balls in the air and it's just, it doesn't work. And mm-hmm. I agree with you wholeheartedly. You have to focus on what is going to bring in the best ROI for your business and your customer. And then as you grow and you bring on more support, hey, how can we repurpose some content in these areas? Where, you know, are my ideal clients on Clubhouse? If so, okay, what can I do with my content to repurpose it over there or whatever? What time in the week can I put over there? Then have that conversation. But you have to take a step back and drop the FOMO because it is real and it can really throw you off course. It's definitely thrown me off course many, many times.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. So I have a couple questions for you, just going in a little bit deeper space around Instagram. So how much time would you say a day that you would spend on your Instagram stories or Instagram itself?
So here's how I look at it. I always say like, okay, we have our Instagram stories and we have our Instagram feed, right? The way I think about it is your Instagram feed is like your storefront. So you want your feed to be reflective of your brand. It needs to look nice and put together. It needs to be a balance of what you have to offer, not only as a business owner, but an entrepreneur. Your brand should never be just about what you offer as a business. And then your stories are back of the house, right? That's where you share the pretty and the ugly. It's how we make these things work. Mm-hmm. So I don't post every day on Instagram. I haven't in a really long time. And it has been okay because I've learned that it is by far more important and more effective to post quality content versus the quantity of content. So back when I thought that I had to post every single day, multiple times a day, I would put out, you know, some of it was decent. Others were cruddy because I was just trying to put something out there and I didn't have the time to curate the level of content that I wanted. And what that did was it brought down my engagement, which brought down, you know, my engagement as a whole. And that is no good as a business owner. But when I slowed it up a little bit and I said, hey, I can post 2 to 3 times a week, maybe more if I have the bandwidth or if I'm launching something cool and focus on creating good content, real, you know, good stuff that I know people would actually like you said, stop and read and take away value from. Now, in my stories, I definitely show up more. Because again, that's behind the scenes. It's not always pretty. I'm not always camera ready. It's not always, you know, where I'm stopping by and I'm dropping a nugget of information that's going to change the game for people. It's oftentimes, you know, right before I sat down for this interview, hopped on. Hey guys, I get to be on Social Selling Simplified with Ashley Shaw. I'm so excited. I'll let you know how it goes. 2 seconds. Just pop it in. People love that peek behind the curtain. They love it. Or if you're having a crappy day, just like, hey, I'm in a really cruddy mood and here's why. And, you know, tomorrow will be better. Because I definitely got into the habit where I was sharing more of the highlight reels because whenever I feel like crap or I'm in a bad mood, I don't feel like getting on social media. But that painted the picture that things were always perfect around here and it couldn't be further from the truth. And I've just found that my ideal client, they love those peaks. They love those glimpses. So I try really, really hard to show up at least once in stories in some way, and then keep the curated things more quality focused on the gram. So it's not an everyday thing. It's not a ton of time. I do spend decent time engaging too, because that's important.
Yeah. I just to really help, when you look at the 80-20 rule, like I love how you've made that easy to understand, you know, like it's about quality content, not just posting just to post and getting things out there. And so in terms of your, what are your favorite apps? Is there anything that you do that you are like, yep, these are the tools that make my life so easy around stories?
Well, because I don't really use any for, besides Canva. Canva is one of them. Mm-hmm. I couldn't live without Canva. That sounds so dramatic, but it's so true. And I do not use the app. I use it on the desktop because I find it to be so much easier, but it is the best for freebies, for cover photos, for graphics, for whatever you need. It is perfect. That one for sure. Hish Hash. Do you use Hish Hash?
No.
Oh my gosh. It is the most genius app. They're just incredible. So what it allows you to do is take multiple hashtag lists, because you should have multiple categories of hashtags for your business and your niche and your customer. So it allows you to take all of those hashtag lists, upload them into the app as separate lists. And then whenever you go to make a post on Instagram or wherever, you would go to Hish Hash and you say, okay, this post is about Instagram for your people, health and wellness or type of workout. It is for women who work from home. It's, for people in and around Nashville, whatever. So you just select the individual lists that are relevant for that post. And then you hit shuffle. And it shuffles you based on all of those categories, a list of 30 hashtags ready to go. It's copied into your phone. So then you just go and you just paste it on Instagram. And if you have a couple that you need to delete, you just tap on the hashtag and delete it, or you can add on a couple more if you need to. But it makes it so much easier, because what you don't want to do is do what I used to do, which is keep, one or two hashtag lists in your phone and then copy and paste the same one on each post. You do not want to do that. That is going to piss Instagram off and it's going to mess with your engagement. So yeah, that was a really long explanation for Hish Hash, but that's how passionate I am. And then I would say the third one, Planoly, because it gives you that bird's eye view of your feed so you can create that cohesiveness. You can add white space into your captions. You can schedule your posts in Planoly. You could do a few other things too, but those are the main reasons why I use Planoly. So Hish Hash, Planoly, and Canva. Yep.
Yeah, I love Canva. I use Canva quite a bit. Hish Hash, that just blew my mind.
Oh gosh, it's so good.
Okay, I have one more question about stories that I want to find out how you look at this. How do you know if you've hit the mark? What do you look at?
You may not love my answer to this, but I try really hard not to look at my numbers. I know. People are like, what? And it's kind of contradictory what I'm about to say, because I do my best to keep a pulse on like what's working, but you can tell based on the level of engagement and people responding, right? But yeah. If I were to constantly look at that story number and how many people are looking at my stories, or even go further into how many people clicked forward or skipped out, I would be crazy. And I don't do that, but I have many clients that do, and they will Voxer me. They're like, Allie, I posted this story and so many people just skipped through. And I'm like, yeah, because it's stories. Like, that's what people do. Like, you don't know if they were on the toilet or what. Like, stop, get out of your numbers. So I try really hard not to be hyper-focused on the numbers. However, I do keep a light pulse on what I get engagement on. And what I have found, as frustrating as this might sound, is it's never about the business that gets good engagement. Mm-hmm. My stories about my business get the least amount of engagement, hands down. So what that tells me is, cool, let's give a good balance of business content, because I'm a business and I'm not doing this stuff for free. we need to make money over here. But also, like, how can we balance it out with other things that my ideal client is interested in? So my ideal client, it's a lot of moms. It's a lot of women who are balancing a side hustle and a full-time job or whatever. What would they find interesting about my day-to-day life or my personality or whatever? And I do my best to give them a balance of that, just showing up as a woman running a business. And when I do that, I notice a tick up in engagement with those stories, which always will increase engagement then on my business posts and stories, which means more people will see it and warm up to me in that regard. So yeah, it's tough because people want to know, like, okay, look for this amount of number or whatever. But like, I mean, it makes me crazy. It makes my clients crazy. So I say, like, focus on just showing up, doing the best you can, and then like, keep it moving. You got bigger fish to fry in your business and things to be working on, but just trust that the more you show up, you're going to get better. Pay attention to what people are responding to, keep doing that, and then keep it moving.
Yeah. I love that. Like the, and it totally makes sense, not allowing the numbers to drive you crazy, just kind of like going based on that instinct of what is getting engagement. How do I do more of that? It's like that same idea of testing different things, yes. Knowing that like, it's just a test. It's not personal. It's like, you're just testing to see what's working. Okay. Last question. How many hashtags would you typically use in your stories? And do you use hashtags in your stories?
I don't use hashtags in my stories unless I'm at an event or, you know, something that I know people would be searching to kind of look into. I do every once in a while use hashtags. I just used one actually. So let's say I was posting a tip on Instagram Reels, right? And I know like this is a good one and I want people to see it. So I could add like hashtag IG Reels tip on the first story and maybe a couple of similar ones. I also use hashtags just ironically to be funny. But other than that, I haven't seen a huge return in hashtags on stories. But I think, yeah, again, if you're at an event or if you're covering something specific, it can't hurt to do that.
I love that. But I think you've just taken a weight off people's shoulders. Like, yeah, you know, thinking like, oh, I gotta, you know, do that on top of everything else. So
yeah. That's— Now hashtags on your other content, your reels, your posts, TikTok, that is important. And that is, I mean, imagine like you putting out a piece of content and cool, like it's being seen by a fraction of your audience, but you add on hashtags and each one of the hashtags that you add on is an individual audience of people. So up to 30 separate additional audiences that your content is being pushed to because of those hashtags. So that is super important, but stories, you might get lucky, but I wouldn't stress about it.
Okay. Love it. And so Allie, where can people learn more about you and find you? Where's the best place to go for that?
Sure. So my Instagram handle is at Allie I Reeves. That's where I show up the most. Come say hey over there. Same thing on TikTok. It's Allie I Reeves across the board. And then you can always check out my website, www.allieireeves.com. But yeah, Instagram that's where I chill the most. Maybe Clubhouse eventually. One thing at a time.
Yeah. You'll have to tag me when you go to Clubhouse. Cause I'm only going if I know other people are like, I'm not going to put my energy there unless I know other people are showing up there. So
let
me know.
Do a room. We'll do a room together. Whatever that means. I heard there are rooms that you can have parties in. So let's have a room together.
Yes, I love that idea. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Allie. I have so many pages of notes here. Like, you just blew my mind. So thank you so much for your time today. I know listeners today are going to have so many great things to take away. So thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Ashley. This was a blast. I really appreciate you having me and trusting me with your people.
Thanks for taking the time to level up today. If you're ready to commit to personal and professional growth, move forward, make money, and grow your health and fitness business, head to my free community on Facebook, Business Bootcamp for Fitness Coaches, so I can support you every step along the way. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and we'll see you right back here next week on Social Selling Simplified.